GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Time to talk Gaelic football here on Off the Ball, and in particular this seismic game that we could potentially be witnessing in Ballybuffet on Sunday afternoon. Donegal taking on Tyrone, and basically it's an All-Ireland quarter-final. It's pretty much knockout football, place in the All-Ireland semi-finals at stake. To discuss the ins and outs of this game, we're joined by former Donegal attacker Brendan Devaney and former Tyrone forward Brian McGuigan. Lads, thanks a million for taking the time.
You're well.
I'm absolutely fascinated by this game, lads. I think the word mouth-watering was delivered to us just to coin what I feel is going to be happening around this game. It could be epic stuff, really. The rivalry, Brendan, in your eyes, it makes it very special that it's a derby game, that it's two sides that have played each other several times over the last few years. But how much ill feeling, real genuine niggle, is there between Tyrone and Donegal at the moment, in your opinion, particularly when you take into account the issues they've had at underage level over the last couple of years, where Declan Bonner has been at the heart of that at minor and under 21? Is it bubbling along under the surface even now?
I think it always is, Dave. You know, once you're neighbours and you're challenging for honours, there's needle going back a long way. Like, even hearing Brian's voice there made me feel a wee bit uneasy, to be honest. You've got this real, I suppose, the history going back this last while. The games have never been won for me in a sportsman manner. They don't be in Ulster. They're too tough. There's too much at stake. And you're right, the bragging rights is huge, you know. I'm just thinking back actually to some of the things that happened in Ballybuffet in the championship, and particularly with Morgan 5 years ago in the freeze, and he was asking whether he should come out or not. He'd scored one, missed a few, and he kind of put the ear up to the crowd, and you felt a real niggle coming from the terrace about that, and the Donegal fans were all waving him up. It was a very funny thing to see, maybe not so much for him, but you know, there is that stuff going on in the background. We're crossing over and back the border all the time. And yeah, between the last few games, Tyrone certainly had the upper hand in terms of championship. You know, before that, Donegal having back-to-back championship victories. Tyrone have had that now, you know, the league game earlier in the year as well. So Tyrone are kind of moving up the gears at, but Donegal, I suppose, are trying to catch up, particularly after the hammering of last season. So yeah, I think at the minute they're a bit of a step off to them.
Is it fair to say, Brendan, this is the biggest game ever held in Ballybuffet?
You could argue for it, I suppose. Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, it's only ever first round games, you know, be there, so they're never at that level of importance. You know, you're on about a semi final and all that's gone in the season, you know, and all that's gone through the two teams. So a massive game, and everybody's, of course, Dave's talking about this massive record at Donegal. You know, since not beat since 2010-21. League and championship games, but I'd argue, David, there's never been a team that has come better prepared or ready to win like this. You know, and as I say, even looking back to those championship games, you know, in 13 and 15 where Donegal won, Donegal were in better shape. Tactically, Tyrone were never ready to go that final step, and they did it in 2016 in that horrible Ulster final, but they were like, right, we're going to go the same as you, we're going to marry you, we're going to grind it out, and they did grind it out, in fairness to them, and they won the game. It was a horrible match, but since then I think Donegal, with retirements and changes over of personnel, have dropped down a few gears. This season they've come back in a lot better shape, but as I say, Tyrone, you know, as I say, in the last couple of championship games have been too good for us.
Yeah, they've had the upper hand, Brian Little, in the last couple of seasons. All right, going to take you back to 2011. We'd end up McGinley on Off the Ball during the week, and he was talking about a pretty infamous comment made by Ryan McManaman to some of the Donegal players. This was in the winter of 2011. Have a listen.
I was heading out that match, and the tension and the physicality of that game was something else. The Tyrone Donegal rivalry has really come out of really nowhere. The famous comment, and I heard it, and it was in McGuinness's book, I think, about Racing McManaman, a non-game in Eden Dark. It was a sort of a secondary pitch in Tyrone, because the main pitch was I think Waterlogged, and we were beating Donegal, and there was a wee bit of tension, and Ricey says then, you'll never amount to nothing, yous are chokers as such. And I remember being in earshot of it, and you sort of always knew Donegal's talent, and I sort of winced and thought, Christ, Ricey, don't tempt fate there.
Don't poke the bear.
But as far as, you know, that comment went back into the Donegal dressing room and was like a catalyst for McGuinness's whole turnaround of that squad. And then they changed. Then they beat Mickey Hart in championship 3-4 times in a row, which simply no other team has done.
And McGinley there. Brian, it's a hugely significant moment, you kind of feel, given the timings of that surrounded that particular game. It's just weeks into Jim McGuinness's reign. No doubt he would have seized upon that in a big way. Do you remember that day itself? Do you remember the comment, or were you elsewhere on the field?
I can't say, I mean, those comments happening. Maybe Donegal would have made more out of it than we would have. And obviously, with Jim McGuinness' psychology background, he would have used any tool possible to get Donegal going. Because before that, you know, I never would have had any real rivalry with Donegal before 2011. I mean, I don't know whether Brandon was playing that there or not, but 2004, we went to Ballybofey to play a McKenna Cup final. And I would say we turned in our greatest ever team display of that era. You know, and it was only a McKenna Cup final, but it's ironic, and it was probably Cormac's last game he was playing for Tyrone before he died, and that was maybe a case of it was meant to be that day. But, you know, we had no fear at that time of going to Ballybofey. In later years, it was always a place I hated to go to. And, you know, you go there and there's an intimidating atmosphere. You're in the change rooms. That, whatever reason it is, Tyrone always seemed to get put in the wee small box of a changing room. I don't know what else, the Donegal tactic. And then, because you need two changing rooms to put they put you into like a handball alley. So I don't know why Donegal get the same treatment in Ballybofey. I couldn't imagine it. But, you know, 2011, after that incident, you could see that Donegal was a changed team. And we had to approach our game differently. It was the first time in 2011, the championship, we played them later on in the year. We actually had to devise a plan to maybe come up against the Donegal state of play, where they just, everybody crowds out the centre. We tried to walk the ball out to the wings, and I felt we were a better team than Donegal in 2011. We just didn't convert the scores when we got them out to the wing. But you could definitely see a change in attitude of Donegal football.
Yeah, I think it was the goals that killed you that day. I think Donegal only managed 2-6, but they eventually won the game. Brendan, is that day talked about at all in Donegal folklore as one of the early signs that things were starting to change under Jim McGuinness, that he would have taken that sort of a comment and used it to bend the will and the minds of these Donegal players that he had just taken charge of?
I know, Dave. I think all them stories only come out when a team wants success. You know, what about the team that gets beat in the final that year or comes close? You know, you don't hear stories. You only hear these stories, and then people think, yeah, that really counted. I mean, from having Ryan McMenamin in a year a few times, that's pretty bloody tame, mate, compared to him. I don't think now that's a pretty normal comment for a team that hasn't been that successful, you know, chokers. So, listen, fair enough, it probably got played out a bit. But, listen, I agree totally with Brian there. You know, 2011, actually, was on holidays watching that out, and Tyrone completely let Donegal off the hook in front of goals. But it was such a pivotal turning point. And I think with managers like Jim and with teams like Donegal, and you see it be a lot of managers, they just seem to carry this wee bit of luck, or something happens in a game you think they could have been beat there. And that springboard was so massive for Donegal, it really set them on their path. And just going back to that McKenna Cup game, I was unfortunately playing Brian, and Cormac was actually marking me. And me and him had been out in Australia, I got to know him quite well. So that was a sad occasion after that. But that was his last game. So what a sportsman he was too, you know, and a joy to play with and against.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. That's pretty sad as well. It was Cormac's last game in a Tyrone shirt before he died. The other story that's been doing the rounds, Brian, in Tyrone this week is that Owen Mulligan was saying there are rumours that the narrowing of the pitch in Omagh was actually with an eye on the Donegal game and not necessarily to cater for the Dubs. They wanted to mirror the parameters and the perimeter of the pitch in Ballybofey as much as they possibly could. Do you want to shed any light on that for us?
I only really read Owen was talking about it. I didn't hear that before, and I was actually surprised that Mickey would have used Skay to probably for the blame of the shortening of the pitch. But, you know, did he think Skay wasn't going to come back and retaliate if it wasn't true? But I was surprised that Mickey, but he'd done his usual thing this week where he just completely neglected the question when it was put down. But it actually is a good idea and plan for the Donegal match, because, you know, there was a good chance that Tyrone was going to get beat by Dublin, and it was going to be a do-or-die situation against Donegal, and it's great. And this is what the Super 8s has been made up for, to produce matches like this, not that, like, the dead rubber games we're going to have in the other side of the draw. But, you know, this is a typical championship game, typical Ulster championship game, and I'm sure it'll not failed to get the heart going on a lot of supporters and the teams.
So Brennan, let's get into maybe some of the matchups and the tactical aspects to this game. If you're to take the last time we've seen both of these teams, we have a picture of Donegal waltzing through a really disappointing Roscommon challenge and Tyrone probably getting Dublin's measure in the last quarter of the game and getting very close to coming right back into the game and snatching a point. The oxygen the Tyrone have thrived on at times this season, particularly against Roscommon and most notably against Cavan, are these turnovers enticing the opposition to bring the ball in towards their own 45, then taking it off them and counter-attacking at real speed. Dublin didn't allow them that for most of the part of the game. Monaghan definitely didn't allow them to do that. How do Donegal make sure that they don't play in that sort of a naive manner and they give Tyrone that impetus that they thrive on and their system is essentially built on?
Yeah, Dave, listen, it's the two teams are going to play, want to play exactly the same, much the same as everybody's playing. Get players back. It just depends. Do you leave one up, two up, three up? You know, that's the max you're going to leave up. Everybody else is like in that one zone of dropping back inside the 45 and then trying to get in the left 45 at a time. But you're right. The power Tyrone have showed at times for me is frightening. And I was at that Monaghan game, you know. Tyrone played poorly, lost three of their best players, you know, the injuries or a bit of loss of form, they were taken off. Monaghan were only a point up with a minute to go, and that was Monaghan played some unreal football, and they were still only a point up. Now, they did pull away in the end, and that's the thing that would worry me. It was a poor day for Tyrone, and he was still right in the game. And then, as you say, the Dublin game the last day. So the thing is about each team trying to squeeze and not fall into their team's tactical play. And for Donegal, if you like, the way they've changed it up this year, the first three games in Ulster, they went out and attacked teams and dropped one or two sweepers back. And also final end, because they knew what Fermanagh were going to do. And of course, Donegal are well used to that type of game. Donegal sat completely and just mirrored Fermanagh. And like, right, let's see who's the best now at breaking with the ball. Of course, it was Donegal. And they won the game quite easily. So Donegal wanted to change it up a wee bit. And that's the thing I think is missing from Tyrone. You know, was that a couple of Tyrone games this season, you know, and even in league games, pulling the full team inside the 45. And I'm looking at the talent they have in the forward line. I'm thinking, you've got to let at least two, three of these, four of these guys be forward and go and play and take on the opposition. They were playing with fear. And I've just noticed, you're on about the end of that Dublin game. It's as if they threw off the shackles. They pushed up in Dublin. And the next thing you could see, the balls, the lift, the pressure come on Dublin, because this is a freaking super drone team for me. The pressure they can put on them when they don't retreat into their shell changes the game. And they almost could have won the match because of that. So I'm just wondering if they got that ability to change it up. You know, they had to go for that game in the end. They had to go for it. They had no choice. So that's the thing, I suppose, from a Tyrone perspective. You'd want to see that in-game play, that they're not stuck in that rigid formation, that they're willing to change it up and go and engage the other team. And you think about it, at any one point in time, if you went full court press and you engaged the other team, suddenly the other team, what's going on here? They're not all dropping back. They're coming up and taking us on. You get turnovers in, you get scores. And that's what I think the modern teams are trying to do. They're trying to get a mix of it. Everybody gets the defence right. Then they got to get the pressure up the pitch, not just always dropping back and allowing another team to come out with the ball.
Yeah, Mickey Hart specifically said after the game, Brian, we went for it and we told the guys to go for it. Why aren't Tyrone going for it from the very start? And would they not look back on the last 15 minutes against Dublin and think maybe this is the way we need to be playing against these Division 1 teams and actually go after Donegal this Sunday and don't allow the game to descend into a little bit of a slugfest, a bit of an arm wrestle where both sides are setting up in the exact same fashion, they're both dropping off, nobody's really pressing up on that full court press, as Brendan was saying, because Tyrone have shown they can hurt the best team in the country by going after them and getting inside their heads when it comes to their kickouts.
Yeah, well, you're right in a way, but you know, if Tyrone do try and go for a game against Dublin, I do think that they'll get a heavy defeat like they got last year. And the problem with a lot of teams when they play Tyrone is they think that they have to replicate what Tyrone do. And the thing is, they only maybe have 1 or 2 weeks to prepare for that, whereas Tyrone have been playing and training that for that exact system maybe this 3 or 4 years. So they're going to be best at it. Maybe the only team left in the championship that could replicate the way Tyrone play is Galway. I think the rest of them have to mix it up a bit. And you know, I do think that Donegal will have to come with something different. And you know, I was with you, Dave, at the Ulster final, and we spoke, you know, how well Donegal had played that day. And up to that point, Paddy McBrady had been a big player for him, and man of the match that day was Owen Van Gallagher. And we thought I certainly thought that they would maybe be all Ireland contenders. I think without those two players, who have been big players for him, I don't think they are, but they can have the potential to beat Tyrone on Sunday. The thing about it is that they'll have to play Michael Murphy up front at certain stages, but they will have to bring him out. And at the times they bring him out, I think the only man who that affects is Jamie Brennan, because I think he needs a foil in there with him. When he's expected to be the go-to man inside in his own, he's just not as effective.
Yeah, he was brilliant when he was moved to full forward against Roscommon, Brendan. And I know, as Brian has said, he does tend to come out and then go back in again and maybe keep the opposition guessing. But given that Tyrone played that the way they do, is it something you'd like to see early in the game rather than maybe a move close to halftime, as we saw in Dr. Hyde Park, that it keeps Tyrone honest? It means the long ball is an option, reducing the chance of you getting turned over around the 45 and getting hit in the break.
Yeah, I suppose neither team wants the other team to get into a lead. So the goals are crucial. You know, you look at this game, you're kind of thinking points-wise, it's probably going to be something around 12, 13, 14, you would imagine. And then goals is going to be what decides it for me. You know, if Donegal can get that long ball going. And the problem is that Murphy's the best at delivering that ball as well. And this is the thing about having McBurtie inside. The whole shape of the team now is a bit unbalanced without McBurtie. As Brian was saying, that go-to man inside that Brennan then can play off, you know, Ryan McHugh's coming off Thompson, you know, whoever needs to be breaking off his shoulder, he can be the target man. He takes their best full forward out. So while Murphy's in there, he has to be used and it has to go on hide him. So that's certainly a tactic Donegal is going to look to do, that diagonal ball. And I think you're right, particularly early on when both teams are sitting, just to try and unhinge the other team. The likes of Michael straying in the full forward line, everything changes. Somebody else can take their eye off and somebody can maybe get in for a score. That, as I say, I think that thing with Michael's power inside and the last day against Roscommon, I mean, what a performance. And the zip that he had, you know, Michael does so much all around the pitch, and it looks sometimes you nearly conserving his energy and holding his space and being the man around the half back line and midfield. But he really went at Roscommon, you know, and they just had no answer for him. You know, and I think Roscommon's problem is a wee bit light. I don't think that's an issue with Tyrone, so it'll be harder to break through that defence. And as Brian's saying there, Tyrone are at this defensive. So the thing that leads Tyrone haven't perfected yet is their forward play in terms of releasing enough players forward in a tight game like this here and how they get the mix right. But certainly defensively, they're right on the money. And for Donegal's players, you know, they're still forming as men. They break through that line. It's going to be very difficult for them on Sunday. That's what they're going to have to do. It has to be quick ball, coming at pace. They find gaps because there'll be very little gaps coming through at 45.
Brian, where would Tyrone like Michael Murphy to play on Sunday?
Well, I do think that their chin over this past few weeks that would have been centred on Michael Murphy. But they do have the right man there for the job. I know Ronan McNamee has been named to start, but I honestly don't believe that he will start. I think Paddy Hampshire will go on him, and he's physically very strong, and he can play a ball. So he's played a lot of his football in the middle of the field this year. But if you can remember back to the under-21 winning team of 15. Fergal Logan's era, he played full back, and he was immense for them too. So I think that Paddy Hampshire will follow him wherever he goes. If he's middle of the field, Paddy will hoard him in the RSA because he can take a score too. And if he's full back, then all he has to do is just get a hand on it and break it down, and Tyrone will have the sweeper sitting there.
But if you're Mickey Hart, where are you hoping Michael Murphy spends most of his time?
Well, I do hope that he plays out the middle of the field, but I don't think he can do much damage in there. The problem is if the likes of Oran McNeilis and Leo McLoone, who like those long cross-field diagonal passes, can get the right rates of play in, he will cause damages. And as Brendan was saying earlier on, if any team gets a goal here, it's going to be a massive score in this game. And he's certainly one of the players that can cause havoc in there.
And isn't that sort of the key, Brendan? Here's Brian McGuigan speaking with his Tyrone hat on, and he wants Michael Murphy to spend the day in the middle of the field.
But you see, I know what Brian's saying there, but you know, if Michael should be in full forward, then he would be in full forward. You got to understand, I suppose, outside of him like hurting the opposition and scoring a goal, what he does out the pitch, his leadership, his physical power, winning ball. If you hand him the ball right behind the half back line, he's surrounded by players. He's not going to lose it, and when he gets it, then he can bury that. He can hit that long range pass. He can score from distance. So the reason he doesn't play in there is because of the damage he's actually doing out there, and because of his presence out there. That's what I mean. And you know, I know McBurtie's one thing. Owen Barron, as you say, man of the match in those to final. You know, McBurney probably would have been, you know, swamped in there. It would have been a difficult game for him to really shine this one. It might have been more a game for Owen Band to shine because of his pace. You've seen him coming out, you know, like a 100-meter sprinter there in that Ulster final at times. And that's the type of player that can unhinge the opposition probably more in a game like this because they're so set. And that's why that, again, is such a big blow to Donegal.
Yeah, it's such a double barrel blow from both ends of the field, really. So without Mike Brearty, maybe there isn't anybody to send that ball into if Michael Murphy isn't in there. What's going to happen on kickouts, Brian? We saw how effective Tyrone were. We've mentioned it already, pushing up on Dublin and pretty much sending nearly every one of their players into the Dublin half of the field. Stephen Cluxton, he was ended up kicking the ball out over the sideline at one stage. And Sean Patton has had a mixed summer, but we know what he's capable of when it comes to the Donegal kickouts. What are you expecting on Sunday in that regard?
I expect Tyrone to push up on them. They've done a good job on Stephen Cluxton. And, you know, when you go to Croke Park, it's very hard to do that because when you're playing a counter-attacking game, straight after the kick-out, your immediate reaction is to filter back in your defensive system. In Croke Park, when you're moving back to defend and then you're trying to counter-attack at pace, you know, it takes a lot out of you. But the fact that Oma was narrowed in, it was a tighter pitch. Bally O'Buffet is pretty much the same. I do think that they can afford to do it this time. Sean Patton's been a great weapon for Donegal this year, but when the likes of Bally O'Buffet mightn't just suit him because he's not going to be able to find the pockets of space to set up the counter-attack. So I do think Tyrone will push up. Will Donegal push up on Niall Morgan? I think they will. They've been doing more of that this year. They have been more attacking and more forward-thinking under Declan Bonner. So I do think that they'll push up too. So you will have more orthodox 15 against 15, hopefully, at times.
And if that happens, Brendan, winning the ball around the middle of the field, and we're seeing it becoming more and more of an important factor of the game, it's at times you think you're watching a game from 10, 15, 20 years ago. Who is going to have the dominance in that area of the field? I guess it comes back to Michael Murphy. That's why Donegal will probably look for him to spend a bit of time out the field, because if both sides are going fully pressed up on the opposition's kickouts, you're going to need someone in the middle of the field to actually win clean ball. And I know the likes of Orr McNeish, for example, he can do it. Liam McClune can do it. Langan's a big guy as well, but none of them are probably better than Murphy.
Yeah, I see McFadden as well.
Yeah.
I suppose, Dave, if you look at it, it might be an interesting stat to pull up. In a big game like this, when was the last time a team lost the amount of kickouts in the game but actually won the game? You know, that would be an interesting stat to see, because what I noticed with Donegal in a lot of them games there that they won this season, they won in the championship, absolutely bossed midfield, kickouts, long, short, whatever way it went, those earlier rounds in Ulster, Donegal, and including Ulster final, and that was the platform for it.
So and even against Dublin, Brendan, against Dublin, they dominated those stats. They dominated those stats against Dublin. Huge amount of turnovers. If you were just going on the stats alone, you'd be surprised they didn't actually beat the Dubs.
Yeah, well, there you go. You threw that in. Hey, I was actually watching that game from a corporate box, and so my mind wasn't totally focused on the on knocking down the kickout. So thanks for that. I could put that there. I'll put that in my stats book, Dave. So listen, I suppose Dublin's a one team, Dave, no matter what you do, giving them gaining possession or pushing up on kickouts, they seem to find an answer to beat everybody at the minute. But for the rest of the human teams out there, you're right, both teams going to crush up in that kickouts and go long, and then it's that fight out around the middle. But certainly, you know, McFadden, McNeilish and Murphy, all well capable of winning clean ball. It's up to the, as Brian and him used to call it, the eights around that middle. Everybody needs to get in and fight for it. The hunger's the one. Sometimes you need a wee bit of luck, because that wee bit of a hand on a ball can change a game.
So let's kind of get down into the nuts and bolts of it, Brian. How do you see this game going on Sunday? Who's going to win it and why?
Well, Dave, 4 weeks ago, if you had asked me it was going down to the wire and Donegal was playing Tyrone, I would have went for Donegal, but I just think Tyrone have too much on this time. If you look at Donegal and Declan Bonner, the one thing they're gonna really go at is the fact that Niall Sludden, Matty Donnelly and Peter Hart have been Tyrone's three men who have led them from the front all year. Donegal or Dublin's only team that stopped those three, so they will be the three that they'll pinpoint, and those three will be disappointed with their performances against Dublin, so they have a point to prove. I was actually down my local club summer camp this morning, and Mark Bradley and Kieran McGeary were there, and was just talking about the preparations and that, and I was saying, would they be starting if the likes of Richie Donnelly wasn't starting? And they were saying, unfortunately.
Okay, we've lost Brian, hopefully momentarily there. Sorry, Brian, you're back, are you?
Yep. Unfortunately, they've been good subs to bring on. Although they don't like that title, unfortunately, they have been good subs to bring on. This is the strongest that Tyrone has been as a forward unit. When they have the likes of Mark Bradley, Kieran McGeary and Lee Brand to bring on, I think it might come down that. Because of the way the two teams play, it's very high intensity, and I think it's going to take the bench to win it. And I do think that Tyrone will have a stronger one.
Yeah, is that a worry for you, Brendan? That, like, we haven't even mentioned Ronan O'Neill there, for example, as well. That Tyrone's bench is now starting to have more of an influence as the games go by, and it's not something that's necessarily replicated on the Donegal side of things.
There's no doubt Dave Donegal playing catch up to Tyrone, you know. I think there's too much made of that Dublin performance last year. We Tyrone, you know, there's some flag for it. I think he's just frozen the team. There's no way that Burnley showed that the last day. Physically against Donegal last year in Ulster, and I know Donegal weren't on their game properly. They put too much in the league. But I was just looking at size, you're on about explosive power. And Tyrone have that. Their age range is a wee bit better stage than Donegal. A lot of Donegal boys, they've kind of got the older and the younger mix. The younger lads are still coming, you know. The older lads are putting in a shift. So certainly all around the pitch, you would think that, you know, 15 on 15, Tyrone probably have that slight edge in terms of that power and pace. And you're right, with Owen Bann and McBurty in there, I would give Donegal a slight nod, adding in to the super record at Balbuffet. Without the two of them, you'd have to say that slight nod is flipped over and goes to Tyrone.
Yeah, it's 2010 you have to go back to for the last time Donegal lost a league or championship game. They were beaten by Down 8 years ago. Brendan, pretty much from the start of this conversation, I am getting the sense that you're bigging up Tyrone here. Like, do you give Donegal a real chance of winning the game, or are you just trying to play a bit of mind games with McGuigan here?
You know, everybody listens to you, you see, Dave, so that's you got to put the word out. Listen, I've seen Tyrone play, like, obviously, every single Donegal match. They would have come on leaps and bounds. You know, as I say, they're getting up to that level that Tyrone were seemingly promising. And I know, when you could say in the last couple of big games Tyrone have played, it hasn't happened. They obviously lost to Monaghan and Dublin, which was the two really big matches they had this year. But I think since that Monaghan loss, I've just seen something about Tyrone. You know, they look like they're ready for the fight, and they look like they're improving all the time. Those two big injuries, as we keep mentioning, to Donegal have weakened us so much, and have weakened the shape of our team. But listen, it's going to be still a tight match. It's going to come down to the wire. If Donegal can pull out an unbelievable performance, you know, you mentioned Sean Patton there, take out, you know, if Murphy plays the way he did the last day, and these young lads really step up the mark, you know what you're going to get from Neil McGee, from Ryan McHugh, from Paddy McGrath. You know, it's up to the new guys, and guys have been there the last couple of years, you know, particularly the likes of Langan, Jamie Brennan, Thompson, you know, McMenamin plays, Eamon Doherty, Patton. These are the new guys in the block that are going to have to really play their top game to unhinge this Tyrone team and win this match. So, you know what you're going to get from the stalwarts. The new guys, this is the game for them to step up.
Mickey Hart himself, Brian, has said this is the biggest game between Donegal and Tyrone that he has been involved in. So we're going a long way back. We're talking about some epic matches over the years with so many other managers that he's been up against. If Tyrone don't get the job done this weekend, and they'll have lost to Monaghan, they'll have lost to Dublin, they'll have lost to Donegal, they'll have given up their Ulster title, might this be the last we see of Mickey Hart? I mean, is that a stretch, or is this game so big that that's actually something that we might end up talking about Sunday night if it goes against him?
Yeah. Well, I think that Mickey, to a certain extent at the minute, has proved a lot of doubters wrong. Earlier on in the year, a lot of people would have been saying this was Mickey's last chance. But now, and I think it's come down to the fact that they are showing a bit of ambition and they're going forward. And I do believe it might only be minimal, but I think that the impact that Stephen O'Neill has made has made them a more exciting team to watch, because a lot of Tyrone supporters had stopped going to Tyrone matches, and you only had to be down in Croke Park against Roscommon when I couldn't believe how little Tyrone supporters there were at the match that day. And I think I was down to the way that Tyrone were actually playing that day. So I think Mickey feels as if he has something to build on next year. So I do think that he'll stay on. And if he has a 2-year contract, whatever it is, the end of next year, he will definitely be there next year. But after that, it remains to be seen. But just on the fact that of Ballybuffet. So credit to Donegal that they've made, maybe made Ballybuffet the fortress that it is, because, you know, in our time when we were going well, you know, we always hated playing in Oma, and I think even the current players hated playing in Oma, and especially the way Donegal play with that the inside man like Paddy McBeardy, who likes plenty of space, but they still love to play in Ballybuffet, and that seems to be right across the board with Donegal players. But wouldn't it be interesting on Sunday evening if it comes to the wire and you have a situation where Tyrone only need a draw and Donegal have to go for the win, if there's only a point or two in it, you know, it'll make for an intriguing finish.
Yeah, it really will. If we see the game in lockdown from a Tyrone point of view and the game level, maybe heading into injury time.
Then, yeah.
Yeah, that's something that we might see. Quick one, lads, on the other game involving Ulster teams this weekend. I think of all the games, Dublin Roscommon's obviously a dead rubber, and we expect Kerry to beat Kildare mainly because the Kildare mindset can't be what it would be in other weeks where everything's on the line for them. So Galway Monaghan is the other one that has everything going for it. Galway already through. Monaghan know a draw. We'll see it come down to points difference if Kerry beat Kildare, but they know a win will put them through to the semi-finals for the first time since 88 as the group winners. So maybe it all comes down to, Brendan, what sort of an approach Galway are going to take. We know Monaghan just have to go and win it. Galway are already there. Does that change their mindset in any way, potentially significantly?
Well, I think the big thing is who you're playing in the semi. So if Galway don't beat Monaghan, they end up playing Dublin, and everybody wants to avoid that. So I think Galway are going to go, and it's very hard to not go and go for a game, you know. I think if anybody's ever tried that in their time, it can actually upset the complete flow of a team. How do you do that? Like,
but you don't do it consciously, though, do you? It's not a conscious thing. No, it just happens.
Well, sometimes if there's a game like that, that's, say you don't exactly have to win, it's very hard as a player to go on at a lower ebb to win as a championship game, you know. So the whole thing of playing, you just got to go and go for it. I mean, Galway need to win the game. That's what they'll be saying. You know, they're at home, and if they're going to be champs, if they're going to have All-Ireland ambitions, and they have to win games like this here and be able to deal with all comers. So, you know, the big thing for Monaghan was obviously the last game letting Kerry off the hook. I mean, how that game ended up the way it did, it's amazing, because Monaghan bossed the game, you know. So that's, I suppose, the fighting point for them. Could the whole season end on those mistakes and the scars that'll bring, the chance to be in All Ireland semi final? So they'll go down there all guns blazing as well. So that performance, that I think that could be, you know, a real white hot game. And Monaghan definitely have it in them to go down there and beat Galway.
What do you think, Brian? I mean, what an incentive for Monaghan. As I said, 30 years since a semi. They know if they win in Salt Hill, it's an All Ireland semi final against Ulster opposition in Croke Park, against either Donegal or Tyrone. This surely has to be the day that they go that extra mile, that extra step that they haven't been able to take at the quarterfinal stages, that they failed to take in Clonus 2 weeks ago. It has to be this Sunday.
Yeah, well, look, if I was to put myself in Ken Walsh's shoes, the three men that the Galway can't do without is Shane Walsh, Comer and Ian Bourke up front. I think that I would take the three of them out.
Really?
Put three people in. Well, put three people in that would be trying to make a name for themselves and maybe come on in the semi-final stage. Because if they lose any of those three players, there's absolutely no way they're going to beat Dublin in a semi-final if they're beat. But, you know, with the gap only been a week, I think they can't afford to take a risk with those players. And everybody else in that team is probably replaceable in the Galway team. If they go out without those three and they put replacements in and they win, think of that, what that would do to the whole panel. You know, the morale, the whole panel, that they have a strong panel and they can beat anybody.
If you go out without those three and you get beaten, and you face Dublin then, and you lose heavily to Dublin in an All-Ireland semi-final, well, Kevin Walsh is going to take an awful lot of flack in that situation as well.
Well, if they don't play Dublin in the semi-final, who do you think can play in the final?
Yeah, but if you leave out these three guys, you lose the game, and then Dublin clean you out in the semi-final, you'd be thinking... Well, I know you're going to have to play Dublin anyway at some stage, but
when we were involved with Mickey Hart made a lot of 50-50 calls that if they hadn't have come off, then they'd been criticised right across the board. You know, playing a 60% fit Peter Canavan All Ireland final, to be a good manager, those are risks that you have to take.
Yeah, that's true. It'll be interesting to see what the team sheet is. I suspect there might be some changes made just before throwing. Brendan, do you see Monaghan getting the job done, or are you been as impressed by Galway as many of us have, particularly in the manner in which they played against Kildare on the last day in Newbridge, a hostile Newbridge?
Yeah, certainly. And I suppose when you, the Kerry performance, I was at that game, it was a bad game. And you know, I don't know about Galway. See, you look at Roscommon's performance in the Super 8 and how poor they've been. I mean, and you look at the game that they gave Galway in the Connacht final. I'm just not sure yet completely about Galway. You know, Kildare, what was that, 6 weeks in a row, championship? You know, they were... you can't play championship every week. That just can't happen. That's something that'll have to be looked at next season for teams, because that's definitely not a Kildare team that it would have 2 or 3 weeks to go into that game. And as I say, they beat Kerry, and we've seen how poor Kerry was. You know, Monaghan, Boston in the following week. So I think there's still a question mark over this Galway team. And I think he has to play his best team to have any chance of beating Monaghan, because Monaghan are coming down there all guns blazing. If he left out those players, I think certainly Monaghan would beat them. And I know what Brian's saying, you have to play Dublin sometime, but probably the way it is now, if any time you want to play him would be the final. You want to keep progressing the team and take it as far as you can. And you know, should Galway lose to Dublin, make it to an All-Ireland final, and lose to Dublin in it, play in an All-Ireland final, that'll stand them then. So they definitely want to avoid Dublin. So I think they'll play their best team and go out and try and win this. But listen, Monaghan, as they've showed, you know, they've got guts, they're plucky, and you know, the big thing they'll want to banish is not that Kerry thing, because we all know from games that we've lost in the past that upset a chance at the best run you've ever had. You know, you can't have that there that you let that slip away. So they'll be coming to Galway all guns blazing. Should be a cracker.
Brilliant stuff as always, lads. Brian McGuigan and Brendan Devaney, thanks a million for taking the time to chat to us tonight.
Cheers. All the best. See you, Brian.
All right, Brandon.
GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.